Let's begin. We're after Perek Chaf Hei. We're after Pasuk Yud Aleph. Before we begin, I just want to tie up some loose ends from yesterday. Yesterday, just a few short points I did not mention yesterday. Okay, number one. First thing we discussed is the story where when Amatziah comes to power, after his malchus is strengthened, he takes revenge for the death of his father. And it mentions there something very, the words that the pasuk use are a little bit difficult. Let me go back in. Pasuk Gimel. Okay, we learned this yesterday. Amatziah comes to power. He was 25. He was 25 years old and became to power. And the first order of business is that he pasuk Gimel. He kasher choska hamamloch olav vayarog es avodav hamakim es hamelech aviv. First thing he does is he takes revenge for the death of his father. His father was assassinated. His father was sick. He was lying on his bed. We know that his father was punished midah k'neged midah for what he did to Zechariah. But his son, Amatziahu, he murders these two servants, the servant from Ammon and Moab. When the pasuk, if you were writing the pasuk, you would probably write at the end of pasuk Gimel, Vayaroges Avodav Hamakim. He killed his servants. Hamakim is Oviv Hamelech, his father, the king. Why does it say here Hamakim is Hamelech Oviv? So the Mefarshim says something very important. There's a discussion when you there's a din of a Goel Hadam. There's a halacha in the Torah. This is a complex halacha. When is a person allowed to take the law into his own hands? Even when a person is killed by accident, the shoygeg, there's such a concept. You go to the Ari Miklat, and if you leave the Ari Miklat, then the goyel hadam, the relative, has a right to murder the person, even though it was only done b'shoygeg. So is there such a din of goyel hadam even by a v'nezik? So this is a very complicated question. Certainly it's even more complicated when we're dealing with a melech. Here he makes it very clear that Amatziahu, he's not going to take matters into his own hand and murder this person, Midin Goyal Hadam, as a private citizen. He's going to punish the perpetrators, Midin Morid the Malchus. Ammon and Moab, these two servants who were descendants of Ammon and Moab, who are related to Ammon and Moab, he's going to kill them. The reason why the pasuk writes as Hamelech Aviv, he put the word Melech before the word Aviv. Now, I don't have all the details. There's a long Chasam Sofer on this piece, this pasuk, but there are major differences when a private citizen takes revenge or goes to court, goes through the legal system to punish someone for a crime committed, than when a Melech, when the people in Klali, a Melech takes acts to punish a person, midin moired the malchus. A major difference in how a murder malchus only kills that's the type of death with cherev versus stoning or strangulation, sreifa. Another difference is who inherits the property of the perpetrators. If it's done through private legal system, then the money goes to be rusha to their children, to the next generation, to the close relatives. If its person is killed within Morid b'malchus, then the property goes to the king. Now, the Chasam Sofer has a discussion. We're going to come back to this. It could very well be that when a person is killed within Morid b'malchus, you are allowed to kill their children. This is subject to much discussion, which will become nogea as soon as we come to the next psukim. It could very well be that if you're killing this person, midin moir b'malchus, so you have rebelled against the kingdom. If you have rebelled against the kingdom, there must be something wrong with the whole family. It's not just you. This doesn't happen from today. You must have trained your children. It's probably rooted in their mind, the hatred for this king. And if we let your children and your family live, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? They'll also come. There might very well be grounds to kill not just the murderer but even the murderer's children, and that totally opened
them as being on the plot.
On the plot. The rules are completely different. And that would right away shed light on what happened later. What the next pasuk says, Pasuk Dalet, V'yes b'nehem lo hemis, he did not kill their children. Ki kachosu batara b'sefer moishash etziv Hashem lemar lo yumsu ovos albanim. Obar lo yumsu alovos. That halacha was said concerning a private individual. That halacha lo yumsu ovos albanim was said to Bezdin, when Bezdin serves in the role of mishpat, and they punish a person for their crime, they don't punish their children. But when a melech acts as taking justice, then that rule would not apply. So basically what's happening here between Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dal is there's a contradiction. The contradiction is there's an emphasis that the malchus, that the punishment will be done through the laws of Moirid b'malchus, ha-melech aviv, not aviv ha-melech, I'm going to murder, but although this is true, but the children are not going to die. Because as far as the children are concerned, I'm going to revert back to the laws of a private citizen where you have no right to touch the children, ish b'cheto yumas, which is complicated. Who says you have the right to do that? Man of shach. If you're going to go all the way, then you're going to follow one set of rules, you don't follow the other set of rules. It's a very complex mix which makes things much more complicated, and it perhaps opens up why the pasuk is explaining, is emphasizing details which otherwise would not be necessary. It is necessary because things here were not being done according to what was standard.
But what about you're not saying
yeah.
that the king is obligated to kill the family?
Oh, so that's another. So that the Rambam says, Mar Malchus Rishus, very good point. If he learned it's this Midin, Bezdin has an obligation. If witnesses come forward and testify that so and so was warned and he committed this crime, Bezdin has no choice. They're mechuyev to murder, they're mechuyev to punish the guilty party. The Rambam says that if a king decides to, a person is guilty because of Mar B'malchus, it's a reshus. Fascinating halacha. Even though the person is guilty as sin, the king has a power to pardon. Such a concept. We think only this is a fascinating concept. I'm a reshus. But he's guilty. He's a Mar B'malchus. He tried to kill me. That's then of kavod. So you want, but so kavod is not necessarily the same thing as a punishing a person with capital punishment. You can put him in jail. You can send him. You can.
An interesting diuk here that it doesn't say when it says in pasuk tezayin that they killed him.
Yeah.
It says elam is kashim alav. It doesn't say that they were his avodim. Over here it says they were the avodim of the son. They were not matches. They were matches avodim.
They were, So they were his servants as well. They were servants of the family.
No, what could have happened was that after he became these two guys, he said to them, "You're my slaves. Don't worry."
Right.
Then they could have had kids afterwards. So the kids were born after they were married to Malchus. So then the pasuk is very good. The pasuk says, "Lo yimosu avodim
alav." Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that there are children that were born at a later point in time.
No, it doesn't say that because pasuk chafei says his kashu alav avodim.
His servants conspired against him. Okay, I hear the point. Yeah.
In theory, therefore, Yoash could have done the same thing to Zechariah.
Well, Yoash, what he did was 100% wrong. There's nothing to talk about. Yoash's behavior was completely...
But from his perspective,
yeah.
If the Malbim brought it down, right,
yeah.
One of the reasons that Yoash felt to kill was Mar B'malchus, that he killed him the wrong way. So he could have hypothetically then killed Zechariah's children, taken Zechariah's property, in his perspective, meaning from Yoash's perspective.
Say that again, from Yoash's... Yes,
they
he probably did. Possibly Yoash did take the property of Zechariah for himself. Yes. Very possible. It's very likely that Yehoyada was a very wealthy man. So it's the definitely okay. This is 1.1. There's another beautiful medrash that the mishpatos ties into this pasuk dalid. It says v'yes mehem lohem es kikakosuv b'torah b'sefer Moshe. Why all of a sudden are we mentioning what it says in the sefer of Moshe? Why not just mention it says in the Torah lo yumsu avos albanim lo yumsu avos? So we know that everyone in the back of their mind, if not the front of their mind, knows the famous Chazal. There's a stira in the Torah. In one place, the Torah says, "Poiked avos al bonim al bnei bonim al shleishim v'al ribeim." It says explicitly in the Torah in one place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes children for the sins of their fathers. For how many generations? For four generations. Bonim bnei bonim shleishim ribeim. Another pasuk says that lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos, ish b'cheto yumas. So the Gemara asks this contradiction. Manavshach, is there such a concept where Hashem punishes future generations for the sins of their fathers? So the Gemara answers, everyone knows the answer, kansha she, where they're continuing, I've got the exact words, where they are continuing to follow in the ways of their fathers. If children have the same attitude and the same their conduct as their parents,
negative,
then negative. If the children continue to follow in the ways of their father, they have the same bad ways, then not only will the children be punished for their own sins, Hashem will punish the children for the sins of their fathers. They'll get more than they deserve to make up for what their father deserved. But if the children have done tshuva, the children, they don't want to know from their father. The father was a rasha. The father did terrible sins. Ochaz and Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was not punished for the sins of Ochaz. Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. Yisod olam. Ochaz was from the worst of the worst. Then you apply the pasuk ish b'cheto yumos. You have no connection to your father. That is the simple answer. That's what the Gemara gives, and that's derech pshat, and it makes sense. I mean, we can relate to this. However, there's a medrash. There's a medrash in this pasuk that says that originally Hashem did not have that in mind. Hashem originally planned there should be a concept of poiked avon al banim ubnei banim shleishim v'ribeim. Hashem, we don't understand what this means. Hashem wanted, we don't know what happens to the neshama, achameh v'esrim. Hashem wanted that there should be punishment to the future generations to atone for the sins of the fathers. Moshe Rabbeinu and Shemayim protested. He said, "Ribbono shel Olam, this may be very good in your eyes, but in my mankind, human beings who don't understand the secrets that go on Shemayim, will never accept this. They'll never relate to this. They'll never be able to deal with this, and there's going to be problems. There are going to be problems. So maybe everything Hashem does is emes, but it's too hard for a human being to relate to." So Hashem said to Moshe, You're right. You know, it's similar to what we have in Parshas Vo'era. Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem, what's your name? Eke Asher Eke. I'll be with you in this tzara, and I'll be with you in all of your future tzaros. Moshe said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Dayo l'tzara b'shaita. One problem at a time. Don't overwhelm them. Don't overwhelm the Jewish people by telling them they're going to have more tzaros in the future generations. So Hashem said to Moshe, you're right. Hey, what does this mean? Hashem didn't know this in advance, but Hashem allows Moshe Rabbeinu to participate in the process of the giving of the Torah. It's a very interesting idea. Same thing, just like we have that over there, we have that in this same, very similar concept. Hashem said to Moshe, there is such a concept, we don't know what this means, that children, people in this world suffer. They suffer, they have not committed any crime, and their suffering is an atonement for things that they don't know from previous generations. Moshe says to Hashem, people are not going to accept this, they don't want to relate. Hashem says, you're right. I'm not going to do it. Ish b'cheto yumos, only yomusu, they'll only die for their own sins, and the only time I'll make an exception is if the oitkin b'masa yodem, if they continued in the evil ways of their parents and their grandparents. So it's to Moshe's credit that we have the halacha ish b'cheto yumosu, and the Medrash says that is why it says here in Divrei Hayamim in this pasuk, it says, and that's what it says in the Medrash, it says Toras Moshe. We have the word Torah in Tanakh hundreds of times. Every time it's a Torah, we're going to say it's Toras Moshe. But when Moshe has a very special connection to that specific mitzvah, it's only because of him things change. Then indeed we do mention the name of Moshe, as we see over here. Hashem, of course Hashem understands, but Hashem, you're asking a very difficult question, and there's a balance. There's Hashem understands. And Hashem basically appears to give the Torah lenitna Torah lamalachei hashares, but Hashem wants us to strive for more. He wants us to strive for things that are beyond us. We're only responsible for what we can understand, what we can relate to, but you have to have emunah that there's more to it. There's more to come. We don't know what.
The question is, when Moshe said to Hashem that the people can't deal with it,
yeah.
Did he understand that beforehand? He's just waiting for Moshe to tell him that?
He's waiting. It seems like Hashem is waiting for Moshe to say that to him. Hashem wants Moshe to say it, and then Hashem will. That's what it appears.
Like when Abraham, Yitzhak, when they wanted to be look older and be ill.
Hashem is waiting for the people to. Hashem wants you to ask. It's like a.
It's a teaching moment.
Right. It's a technique. Okay. Let's go to. Okay. The next thing I want to mention. I just said this yesterday. I'm about to tell you. I just said this on my own. Just because we're learning the Daf Yomi, but it's really a medrash. We learned yesterday this horrible event that after Ahaziyahu succeeded in the battle against Seir, he went out. He captured an additional 10,000 soldiers or victims, and he took them to a cliff and he threw them down a cliff. And it says in the pasuk that their stomachs burst. Their stomachs burst. That was in pasuk. That was the last thing that we did yesterday, right? We did pasuk good days. V'yaseres alofim chayim shavu bnei Yehuda v'yivium l'rosh hasola v'yashlichum l'rosh hasela v'chulam nivka. Why did he do that? So indeed, it says, "Who is what on Yom Kippur? What do we throw down a cliff? The soyer lazazel. What is a soyer? Esa is sayer. A soyer is sayer." So he had some reason for doing this. Being that he now conquered Edom, Esav is the saw here. He did to them like what you do on Yom Kippur.
Did he tie
the red wool on their horns? Did they have horns? So there's a very powerful limud mussar that because of what he did, it's an amazing thing. It'll get tremendous insight into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, when the Daf Yom of the Gemara says, this is a mitzvah of taking the Sor LaZazel, which for us is beyond understanding, and that's why it says, Eretz Gezerah, you shall throw the Sor LaZazel L'Eretz Gezerah, and Chazal Darsh, what's this unusual with Eretz Gezerah? The whole collection of interpretations, and one of them is, Gezerah Himilofanai. You have no understanding of what this is about, don't even try. Don't even try to understand. And the problem is that's exactly what Amatzio did by taking the people and throwing them off the cliff. We learned yesterday the Medrash that this was the beginning of Golas. Hashem was so upset with this act of cruelty, this brutality of taking people and throwing them off a cliff. And before they made it halfway down the mountain, they're ready, their bodies were broken apart. Hashem says, you want to behave like this? I don't want you in my land. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't do things like this. You don't act with such brutality. Get out. Already, I'm going to plan for you in 250 years from now, there's going to be a Golas. I'm going to remove you from the land. It's not just enough. There's going to be a Chor Beis HaMikdash. We discussed yesterday. Today, Baruch Hashem, we'll have Eretz Yisrael, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And we're called Golas. There's a double dosage of Golas, where not only do you not have a Beis HaMikdash, you also exiled from the land. And this was, according to the Medrash, one of the key points where HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, I don't want you to live in my land anymore, I want to take you out because you don't conduct yourself with such faith. But why? It's in the Torah. The Torah says to do this. It says do this to the Sor LaZazel, and the Sor LaZazel represents Esav, Seir, and it's Seir is the same Osir, says Soir. So we're really doing what it says in the Torah. So the answer is a very powerful limud mussar. This is an abuse. This is an abuse of the Torah. You take the Torah and you take an idea, you take a concept, and you use it. You make a shtickle Torah, and the result is krum. It's just foolish, and it's just outright wrong, and it's so terrible what you've done. Hashem says, "Get out of the land. I don't want you here, my holy land." But it's in the Torah. It's in the Torah the way Hashem told you to do it. Don't use my Torah as a tool to abuse, to harass, other people. Unfortunately, we live in a society where many times people, they abuse other people all in the name of Torah. All in the name of Torah, you go and you can look, it says in the Torah to do this, and by extension, you have to extrapolate that it means this, and this is the result, and have a makar. It says in the Rambam, it says over here, it says over there, this is what Amatziyahu did. Seir, let's do the real thing. We're even better than the Torah. The Torah only tells do it to an animal, which represents Seir. We'll now do it to Seir itself. Hashem, I never told you to do that. How dare you? I told you to do it to one animal once a year, and you don't even know what that means. What are you doing this to people? This is a very powerful abuse of the Kedusha of the Torah, and that is something at least we can learn from in our times. So let's now go to Pasuk, let's go further Pasuk, Yud Gimel. Pasuk Gidal. Vayihi achrei vo amatziyahu miakos es adomim. He was very successful. Amatziyahu was on a high. In fact, Chazal say he had a little shtickle gaiva. It got to him a little bit more his success in conquering Seir with 300,000, his 300,000 soldiers. And after he sent away the 100,000 soldiers from the 100,000 soldiers from Yisrael, and he was successful. Now, by the way, the Medrash also points out, says the reason why he was successful is because he did not kill the children of the Avadav. If you read the Pesukim similarly, you would say the reason why he was successful was because he listened to the Ish Elokim. He listened to Amotz. Yeshayahu ben Amotz. Amotz told him to dismiss the 100,000 soldiers from Yisrael. They should not come along with you. And he listened. That's a shocking thing to hear in Nevi'im, that a person actually listens to a Navi. They take him seriously. But that's not what the success attributed to the fact that he didn't had rachmonis on the children of these avodah, he did not kill them. Which I want you should remember this, because not everyone agrees to this. There's going to be a conflicting medrash that says just the what? What? I can't remember all the sources because there are so many of them. I have all checked off, and time is short to prepare. But I highly recommend you purchase the Sefer called Mishpitzos Zohov. This is on Sefer. He doesn't have a volume on Sefer Divrei Hayamim. This is on Malachim. So a lot of the stuff here is in Malachim, I cross-reference. In fact, a lot of things here, like this story about the 10,000 soldiers that he threw off the cliff, does not appear in Sefer Malachim. There are a lot of things here that are not in Sefer Malachim, but he cross-references. So this Sefer really is on both. It's on Sefer Malachim, Sefer Devarim. He cross-references both, and he tries to explain. And it's really breathtaking, these volumes. It's a remarkable. He just put out last. His latest edition was Megillas Esther.
Who is this? What's
his name? His name is Weiss. Shabsi Weiss. There's a number of volumes. We did it on Divrei Hayom. I used this for Divrei Hayom. It was just unbelievable. I mean, Daniel. Sefer Daniel. Now he has Divrei Melach. I think he has on most of the Megillos. And it's fantastic Sefer. Okay, but he now let's, so we come over here to, now the reason why I want to keep that in mind is because he's going to cite soon another Medrash that says just the opposite. That he made a big mistake. He should have killed the children of the Avodav. These Avodav were murdered by Malchus in the worst degree. They murdered a king. And when someone murders a king, we don't relate to the times. It's not a din of mishpat of ish b'cheto yumasu. As we mentioned, that's a law for private citizen. That's not a law for a melech. A melech has the obligation, like you said, a king cannot be mochel on his kavod. And when someone kills the king, you wipe out the family. That's what's supposed to be done, according to one approach. Not everyone agrees. And that's why the Pasuk mentions there's a contradiction here. He also was an abuse, a perverted understanding of the Torah. The Torah says, Ish b'cheto yumasu, have rachmanis. Oh, I'm going to have rachmanis. Amatzio didn't know, understand that's not what the Torah means. Ish b'chetu yumasu means a private citizen who commits a private crime. But when you kill the king, that's not part of ish b'chetu yumasu. That's a din of Mariba Malkus. There are a different set of rules. And then when it comes to the Sar la'azazel, he also perverted the Torah. Sar la'azazel, you threw off the cliff, so I'm going to take the people from Seir, I'm also going to throw them off the cliff. There'll also be a Sar la'azazel. That's wrong. So there's a theme. There's a theme that comes out that this Amatziyahu was a novel Birshus HaTorah. Most other kings that were guilty, they couldn't care less what the Torah said. The Torah says this. I don't even know what the Torah is. I'm not a religious king. It's a secular state. We don't even know from the Torah. No, he was religious. But he was a novel Birshus HaTorah. Took the Torah, used it to do whatever he wanted, any excuse he wanted. It's a very different approach, different look at Amatzio. Okay, so now we have over here, he was very
successful. Very good. Didn't we say earlier that he even though he was Oyver Hashem, his heart was not there?
Right, he the loy believe of Shomer, and that's what happens.
That's a
null Torah. If you're not 100% with the Torah, you're going to make major mistakes. You have to put your heart into the Torah. You're just going to hold the Torah and read what it says and do this and do that. You're going to stumble. You're going to stumble. And then when you're a king, when you're at the controls, your mistakes are serious mistakes. I remember once hearing on a shir, once on the Talmud of Aaron Soloveitchik. So he said, what do you want to do? I want to become a doctor. He was already in medical school, and Aaron Soloveitchik thought that he was going to become a Rav, become a Rosh Shiva. So he said to him, oh no, you're going to become a doctor? He says, you know, if you're a Rav, you're a Rosh Shiva, and someone can ask you a shal about a chicken, is it kosher, not kosher, so no. If you make a mistake, and you pask, and the chicken's kosher, it's not kosher, so what happened already? So someone ate treif. So no, according to science, there's really no difference. So he did not there, so clap al chait, he'll be okay. But if you're a doctor, you're a surgeon, and you make a mistake, the guy's dead. So watch out, being a doctor is even worse than being a rabbi. How much damage can you really do when you're a rabbi? Some will tell you just the opposite, right? You can ruin people's lives if you are... Okay, that's really guidance. But that's a very, very interesting thing. I believe Aaron Soloveitchik, maybe it was another Gadol Hadar. So that, yeah. Yeah.
It's only by Avodah
Zarah. Only by Avodah Zarah, fascinating. Not by... Only by the Zohar you go to the next generation. Unbelievable. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara does.
Don't worry.
He's not a prey. Very good. Very, very interesting. Okay, so we keep on getting sidetracked. He stumbled. He was very impressed. He comes there to their land, to Seir. He kills 10,000 soldiers. He takes another 10,000 soldiers and he tortures them to death. And he goes, he takes a tour of the country, of the conquered land, and he sees their temples, and he goes into their churches, and he sees all of their idols, and he's very impressed. Now, you would say just the opposite. He should not be impressed. If these idols have any power, you have to relate to the mindset of the people of that time. If these idols have any power, then Amatzio would have failed, would not have succeeded in conquering the nation, conquering the country. But no, he comes there and he sees all the idols and he says, I'm impressed, I like them. I also want to bow down and worship and kiss and hug and offer sacrifices to these idols. So he calls his troops, take them all home. Replicate these idols in Yerushalayim, bring home the idols, bring home the temples, bring everything back, and we're also going to worship their gods. Foolish, very, very foolish, but that's what he did. He brings the Elohim b'nei Seir, the gods of b'nei Seir, and he sets them up as gods. Before these gods, he bows down, and to them he offers kitores. So here he really goes off the deep end. Okay, he started off a little bit questionable. He was v'loy b'lev of Sholem. He abuses the Torah by not being noikim milchemes Hashem of killing the children of the people that murdered his father. He abused the Torah by throwing people off a cliff, and now he's totally gone. He's totally lost. He goes and he worships. He went down the slippery slope. One thing led to the next. Pasik Tezav. Vayicharaf Hashem b'yamatzio. Hashem was furious. Vayishlach elav navi. Hashem sent him a navi. Vayomulo lomo derashta eselokhei ha'am. Why have you inquired over the gods of the people? Asher lo hitzilu esamam yodecha. They have not. These gods are nothing. What's the proof? The proof is, if they had any power, they would have prevented you from conquering their nation. The fact that you succeeded shows the gods are worthless. And look, even on your standards, even in your corrupt mindset. So why are you bowing down? It was when this prophet does not tell us who this prophet was. Doesn't say this is Amos. The only time it says Amos was in the previous psukim where it's Ish. In Ish, Ish Elokim, which there we interpret to mean as Amos. Here it just says of Navi came. Vayhi bedabra elav vayom alo haliyoyetz lamelech nesanucha. Did I make you my advisor? How dare you? So now he goes to the next step. Chutzpah. He talks with chutzpah. One thing leads to the next. One thing to bow down to idols. You know, that's one problem. This is even a bigger sin. It's even a bigger sin. You can do what you want behind closed doors. Just don't bother anyone. Hanistaros l'Hashem elokeinu. That's no one's business. But you go to the God, to the Navi, and you talk to him with chutzpah. Who made you mi samchol the ish sar v'shefet aleinu? Who made you out my boss? Haliyoyetz lamelech nisanucha. Did I make you an advisor to the king? Chadalcha. Leave me alone. Get lost. Stand back. Stand down. Chadal. Cease to you. Lama yakucha. Why should I kill you? In other words, he threatened his life. If you open up your mouth one more time to me, you're dead. I'll kill you, the Navi. Obviously, what did he forget? He forgot all about Zechariah. His father, the blood was still bubbling in the Beis HaMikdash. The blood of Zechariah, the Navi, Zechariah warned the people not to continue, not to worship idols. And he was murdered. And that was a very great stain. The people were cognizant of this. And here it's going all over again. A short time later, I'm going to kill you, you're a prophet, I'm going to kill you if you dare tell me not to bow down to these idols.
What did he say? There's a shadow one bring down. He didn't say B'Shem Hashem that he's speaking there, but God.
It was obvious. The fact that it says a Navi, the fact that he's called in here a Navi, it's assumed that he was speaking.
Right,
we had this before. Was it his own words or was it the words of Hashem? Koyamar Hashem. Sometimes a Navi says Koyamar Hashem. Sometimes a Navi just says it the way it is. It's a good point. Is the Navi saying it in the name of Hashem or is he saying it from his own opinion? I don't know the answer. But it says here, Vayishlach Elov, who's Vayishlach Elov? He sent to him. Seemingly, it would be that Hashem is the one that is the subject. Vayishlach Elov Navi. Who is Vayishlach? Who's the one that sent?
Hashem.
So seemingly, if Hashem sent a Navi, it must be these are the words of Hashem. Vayechdal Hanavi, the passage concludes, Vayechdal Hanavi, the Navi stopped. Vayomer Yodati. Now I know, Ki Yotz Elokim Lehashchisecha. Now I know that Hashem has advised himself. This is a very difficult passage. Hashem has Yotz. Hashem has Yotz means to give advice. Who does Hashem give advice to? Who is Hashem? Who's listening to Hashem? So the Mefarshim, I have to open up the Mefarshim, it means Hashem spoke to himself. Kaviyachol, Hashem deliberates with himself. Hashem says, should I do this, should I do that? Hashem has advised himself that you're a dead man. You are indeed a dead man. He has decided to destroy you. And you have not listened to my counsel. In other words, Hashem has hardened your heart. That is an explosive Ralbag here. Let me read you. Let's jump in. Instead of doing the Mesudas and Rajas for a moment, look at the Ralbag. They have it here in the Ralbag in this edition.
Yeah.
Okay, let me open up to the right page. Give me 1 second. I'll parak chafei. This is pasuk. What pasuk is this? Pasuk yud zayin. Parak chav dalid. Pasuk yud. Wait. Peshkuf ayin gimel. Okay, well, back. Pasuk Zayin, Vayech Lanov, Vayomer Yodati, Ki Yotz Elokim Lashchisecha, Heir Bezeh, he made it known to him, Ki Acha Sheyire HaNavi, after the Navi saw, the Pasuk made us aware, after the Navi warned him, Shem Yosef Lehoichicham, Yosef Al Chatosam, Teshav yekum laharog v'yekum laharog, that'll kill him. Hine einoy mechuyev l'shanos lahem divrei hanevuah. He no longer is he required to repeat the words of prophecy. He's finished. Be'atzma achar she'osa shlichus Hashem yisparach ba v'lomadnu. Here are the words. Here's the part I really wanted to get to. Bezeh shektzas huavoynos heim b'tzad sheyimnu habechira min ha'adam l'shuv mehem, that due to certain sins, Hashem denies a person free will. The basic principle in life in this world is a person has bechira chofshes. And sometimes, when a person is so guilty of sin, Hashem removes from him free will, so that he should do the avera again and be punished. Now that's an explosive idea. The only time we find that is by Paro. Paro, Vayichaber Hashem et slave Paro, Kaved le Paro. Who hardened Hashem's? Who hardened his heart? Hashem hardened. All the Mefarshim, they struggled. It's a very difficult idea. How could it possibly be that Hashem took away from Paro a human being b'chira chavshes? Now that Paro sees the Yad Hashem, he should let the people leave. No, I'm going to harden his heart. Leman revoice mofsai the eretz Mitzrayim, in order to increase my wonders in the land of Egypt. So you have to answer that question, and the Mefarshim do answer the question. But whatever answer you're going to give there, that you'll say applies to a goy, applies to Paro, it applies to a nation. Paro is the heart of the nation. But when you're dealing here with a Jew, with a Melech, the Zera of David, how could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking away from a person Bechira Chavshes? In other words, what the Rabbalik seems to be saying here, that at this point in time, when the Navi said to him that if you continue doing this, you're going to die, Alpi Derech HaTeva, Amatziohu should have said, you're right, enough is enough. After all, he started out going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't the level of Sholem. This should have been enough of Derech HaTev for him to stop doing Avodah Zarah. But no, the sins were already past the point. He already abused his Bechira to the point where Hashem says, Adkan, I'm taking away from you the Bechira. I want you to continue in this way so that I have an excuse to completely obliterate you from the face of the earth. That's,
is the beginning of the world life threatening when you see your life in danger?
That's a rule of prophecy. Yeah, well, that also is subject to debate. Ralbag is one of many opinions. That's a very big. You have to go study Yirmiyah and Yeshaya. All the Nevi'im, their lives were threatened, and some of them still did so. Yechezkel and especially Yirmiyah, he had the worst. Yirmiyah was the most abused of all the prophets. And where do you stop? So here he says that once this Navi stopped, and the reason why he stopped is because I'm not mechuyev. Einoy hinei, einoy mechuyev l'shanos lahem divrei hanevuah. Ahi bi'atzma, achar she'osa shlichus Hashem yisparach ba. I did my job. I did my job. I'm not going to repeat it.
Start six words before you just started.
Okay.
Sheyir
Hanavi.
Sheim Yosef Lechicha.
Yosef Ralchatosam Pesha. They'll kill him.
Right.
They'll kill me. So in this instance, there's no need for me to go and continue speaking. Okay. And I've done my job. I've done my job, and that's the end. Or maybe you'll say, if Hashem told me to say this prophecy, that means you have to give up your life to say it. You got to do your job.
The
Kitrug and Klal Yisrael. He didn't do anything. The Hashem said, do no matter what. And then he goes on to say, but here you learn that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Bechira from a person. This is only true when it comes to very great sins. To very great sins. Ki Hashem Yisbrach Yirtze Sheagia Aleim Lachoitim Ho'oinish Hore. Hashem wants that it should come upon the sinner the punishment that is worthy. So this is a
The sin,
he did many sins. He did many sins. If you want to learn that he didn't kill the children of the killer of the servants, that could be also a sin. We don't know the full story. There are conflicting opinions. As was that a sin or not a sin that he did not kill the children of those who murdered his father? He he brutally murdered 10,000 people from the nation of Seir, Shelo Kedin. And now he takes back Avodah Zarah Zechuti Machti Asarabim.
So is that that Hashem says?
It's a combination. It appears. I've had it, right. I've had it, and I'm taking away from him the Chira Chofshis. This is a very rare concept in Chazal.
But when the Rabban says,
yeah, big sins.
Is he referring to Avodah Zarah? This is it? The combination?
There are many sins. In this instance, there are many sins. And seemingly, yes. Seemingly, we're referring specifically here to the sin of Avodah Zarah. So this is, I just want to point it out, this is a very rare idea where you find that Hashem takes away from a Jewish person Bechira Chavsh, especially of Yuchis, the descendant of David HaMelech, no more Bechira because of your sins. And that's what he says. Vayechna Hanavi Pasuk concludes, Vayomer Yodati Ki Yoatz Elokim L'Hashchisecha Ki Asisa Zos V'lo Shamata L'Atzos, you have not listened to my advice. Pasuk. Okay, now let's read the Metzudas and Rashi on these two. Pasuk Gidal, the Metzudas, David Pasuk Yud Dal, there is another Pasuk Tezvav. Pasuk Tezvav Asher Why are you worshipping these idols? You're foolish. You see that these idols are worthless. They were not able to prevent you from conquering their land. Pasuk Tezayin Haliyoyetz. So when this Navi gives Musar to Ahasuerus, he responds, who told you, whoever made you my advisor? Who appointed you to be my advisor? How dare you give me advice? I don't want to hear your words. Cease from speaking these words. Why should I kill you? I'm not going to kill you directly. It's beneath me. I'm going to have one of my servants execute you. When the Navi heard this, he was quiet. And he said, now I know that Hashem has advised. Who does Hashem advise? Ki Yoatz Elokim, another very unusual pasuk, Yoatz Es Atzmo. Hashem gave himself advice. Human beings don't give themselves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberates back and forth, yes or no. Hashem talks to himself.
People talk to
him. But he gave himself advice. Okay. If you're not going to go in my way, if you're not going to take my advice, you shall know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has advised to destroy you. What is the Eitzah? What is the Eitzah? Now, Rashi is a lot more into the past. The advice is Hashem is going to influence you to do what it says in the next pasuk. The next few psukim tell us that Amatsyahu wanted to go to war against the king of Yisrael. Now, the reason why, and this is very interesting, I'm going to throw out this medrash now. He's in a state of gaiva. He's very proud of himself that he succeeded in conquering the nation of Seir. He humbled them. He killed 20,000 of their best people. Now he says, you know what? Now I have to. I want to tie up some loose ends. Who killed his grandfather? Who was the one that murdered? How did Amatsyahu? Who was Amatsyahu's grandfather? Let's go through the yichus. Amatsyahu's father was Yoash. Who was the father of Yoash? Who was the father? Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the father of Yoash. How did Ahasuerus die? Ahasuerus died, he was killed by Yehu. Ahasuerus went to visit his brother-in-law, the Melech of Yisrael. I'm forgetting all the names. He went to visit, and there, who was there at that time? Yehu. Yehu was appointed by Elisha. Elisha told Yehu, I want you to go kill the king of Yisrael. Achav, who was the king that was... was it Achav? I think it was Achav. Was it Achav then? I think it was Achav. I want you to kill the king of Yisrael. he went to kill him, and when he killed him, who did he see there? He saw the Ahaziyahu. What are you doing here, Ahaziyahu? Let me kill you also. And indeed, Yehu killed Ahaziyahu. Who took over the Malchus of Yisrael? Yehu. And now, who is the king in command? The king in command now, I think, is Yoash. It's a different name. The names get very confusing. You have to bring in charts. Yoash, the king of Yisrael, now also had the name Yoash. His name was Yoash. He was the grandson of Yehu. So now, look what's happening. And it's very interesting. This whole puzzle, everything comes together. Let's take a step back. Everyone has in mind to kill either the person that did a sin or their children. Or does not want to kill their children. At this point in time, the king of Yehuda, whose name is Amatsyahu, wants to go to war against the king of Yisrael, who is the grandson of Yehu, to take revenge for his grandfather's death. Yehu killed the grandfather of Amatsyahu. Therefore, I'm going to take revenge from my grandfather by killing the king of Israel, killing the grandson of Yehu. Now notice, the grandson I'm going to kill, but I'm not going to kill the children of the one who killed my own father, because Ish Becheto Yumasu. You see how corrupt everything
they
is.
They were related.
They were
the Achav was the great grandfather of both.
They were all related all the way back, because there was all this intermarriage between them. Now this idea, he really says well, is expressed in the Vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim. There's a Vidur Rabbeinu Nissim, I think you say this on Yom Kippur Katan. And there in the Vidur we list all of our sins, and among the sins we list is we prohibit what you permit, and we permit what you say before Nidre. It's the Vidur of Rabbeinu Nissim Goin. He actually quotes it here. Let's see if I could find it. Okay, I can't find it, but the point is, oh, here it is. Hine bevidui shel Rabbi Nissim Goy Nemar, Eis Asher Hitarto Asarti. What you Hashem said is permitted, I forbid. The Asher Asarta, this that you said is forbidden, Hitarti. So what does that refer to? What's an example? This refers to the story over here. The Vechein Hoyabia Matsya, okay, our king over here, the king of Israel, Sheb Betur Melech Shoharages Hamakim Es Aviv, Hoyamutur Lo Lahare Gamis Benehem. Amatsya was allowed to kill not just the servants who killed his father. He was permitted to kill their children as well, because they were Morid B'Malchus. And the laws of Morid B'Malchus allow you to kill the entire family. The Amatsya, Hichmir al Atzmo. He was Osarti Mashe Hitarta. He was Machmir. V'loy Osazos. The Ilu, Lot says, the Mulchama Neged. Now the king now of Yisrael, his name is Yoash. He was the grandson of Yehu. Loy Huter Loy Lin. Why was he not allowed to take revenge for the death of his grandfather and kill the grandson of Yehu? Because what Yehu did was sanctioned by Elisha. It was sanctioned by a Navi. And therefore, he had no right. This was the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was deserving of death. And therefore, you have no place coming to take revenge for the death of your grandfather. Also, it could be that it's a third generation, it's too far removed, you have no death. So here, the one that was Mekayim, the one that did not know how to fulfill the vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim, who really did fulfill what it says in the vidui of Rabbeinu Nissim, is that I forbade that which you permitted, and that which is forbidden, I permitted, is a matziyahu, he should have killed the greatest children of the ones who killed his father, and he should not have gone to war now against the people who have killed his grandfather. So this, according to Rashi, is the eighth. Rashi is learning some pasuk a little bit more deeper than what the Mesudas taught us. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants you dead. He wants to kill you, and the way he's going to kill you is going to put a machshava into your mind to go to battle against the king of Yisrael, whose name was Yoash, a different Yoash, not the name of the father of Amatziyahu. He's going to, you're going to go to battle, and in that battle you're going to be killed. You're going to eventually die in that battle. So,
Nabi is literally
telling
him. Yeah,
well, I don't know. If he's actually told him. But look what it says in the words of Rashi. Rashi says, "Ma'hi ha'etza." What is the etza? He's going to influence him. Hashem is going to put this machshav into your mind to go to war against the king of Yisrael. The leap of, and you're going to fall in battle. Kiddush Sivit says in the pasuk, "Vayivoyitz Amatzia." The next pasuk going to say that he took counsel, Amatzia Melch Yehuda, "Vayishlach," and he sends a message to Yoash, Yoash the king of Yisrael. Let's go to war. Let's see some of the pasuk very quickly. Say again, pasuk Yitzayin. "Vayivoyitz Amatzia Melch Yehuda." He took advice. He spoke to his advisors and he asked them, maybe it's a good idea now that we should go to war against the king of Yisrael. We should have some war because of what his grandfather did to my grandfather. Vayishlach el Yoash ben Yehoachaz. He sent a message to Yoash, who was the son ben Yehoachaz, ben Yehu, the grandson of Yehu, Melech Yisrael, Lemar, Lucha, to you, Nisra'efanim, let us see your face. In other words, this is an expression which means let's go to war, face to face. And it refers back to the psukim we learned yesterday, that your people have done a terrible crime. They killed 3,000 of mine when I rejected your 100,000 soldiers because they were sinners at the advice of Amatzia, the Navi, and I sent them home. They came back home. They were moping in their bizionos, and they came back and they attacked and they killed 3,000. They killed 3,000 of our people in a cowardly way. They came out and hiding in guerrilla warfare tactics. They went and they killed 3,000 people and they took all of their spoils. That's how you fight. You want to fight with me? You got a problem? Come, let's fight face to face. L'chon nisra eponim. Don't go fight in this cowardly way. Let's go and have a real war. The real kavana was not to take revenge for the death of the 3,000 people of Yehuda and the spoils that were taken, but it really was because he wanted to go and take revenge for his grandfather that was killed by the grandfather of the current king Yehu, to go take revenge for what Yehu did. Pasuk Yitches. Vayishlach Yoash Melech Yisrael El Matzio Melech Yehuda Lemar. So he gives a mashka. We're out of time. Let me run the pasuk very quickly. And then we'll stop. What's the marshal? He says to them, basically he says to them, who do you think you are? You little lowlife. Do you know who I am? I am Yoash, the son of Yehoachaz, the son of Yehu. I am the king of the 10 tribes. Do you know how many soldiers we have? We have 10 tribes. You have 2 tribes. You're nothing. You got a little excited, a little kavod. You went to battle against Seir. You knocked out 20,000 people. So all of a sudden you think you're the king of the world. You're a nothing of a nothing. How dare you challenge me? And he gives him a mashal, and they're beautiful midrashim explaining the deep meaning of this mashal. Just read the words now. Hachoach asher balavon, the thorn in the Lebanon, Shalach, he sent the message, El Ho'eres, to the cedar, the greatest, the mightiest tree in the forest, Hashem B'Levonan, Leymar, Tinos Bitcha Levni, give me your daughter for my son, let's meet Meshanech L'Isha. So what a chutzpah, how does the lowly little thorn think that he's right to be Meshanech with the mighty Eres? And what happened? What happened was that Ta'avor Chayas Hasodeh Asher Balavonon, the wild beast in the Levonon came, Vatirmos Es HaChoach, and trampled upon the thorn. That was the end. And then he goes on to say, we'll leave that for next time. But the one beautiful point is, and this is so common today, you see this all the time, especially in the newspapers, is when people give Musa, right? They come, they give Musa, they wave their heavy bat, and they criticize someone, the people who are giving the Musar themselves are guilty of the same thing that they're giving Musar of. Like, kol ha-poisel bimumo posel. The Gemara says, if you see a person calling someone else a mamzer, That's what he likes to call, oh, this is a mamzer. Check into his yichus. It's very likely the one that's calling someone a mamzer is a mamzer. Call ha-poisel b'mum-a-poisel. What here is the musr of the king of Yisrael, Yoash ben Yehoahaz ben Yehim. What is he saying in essence to the king of Yisrael, Achaziyahu? You're a balgaiva. And the way he says to him, you're a balgaiva, is by saying, I'm even a bigger balgaiva. I'm the Erez, and you're the Choach. By comparing himself to the Erez, he's basically saying, I'm even greater than you. And what's the Musa? The Musa is, who do you think you are? You're a nothing. You're a thorn. And you think you're going to be Mashanich with the Erez. So here's a classic example of Kol HaPoisel B'mumoy Poisel. The Musa is, don't be such a Balgaiva. Humble yourself. And the Musa is, he himself is the bigger Balgaiva. Okay, so there's a lot more here, and Mir Tashem will leave this for next time.